speaking, for organizations that have proven themselves to be stable and they're going to be around for a while and they're worth the investment, that they are otherwise good, effective organizations with a good track record, but just need a little bit of scratch, you know, to put into the kitty to keep the lights on. That's the basic idea behind it. Like, these are good organizations that need to stick around, but the carpets smell like cat pee and it's putting off clients. Like, little things like that.
Yeah. No, you nailed it. It is just about how do they create capacity. They had a focus on mentorship, strategic planning, collaboration. But they were given 577,000. That project started
Ooh, it's half a
January,
million.
it's half a million. That project started January 1st. So January 1st, 2024, this year, they were handed half a million. February, the executive director resigns.
As one does, yes.
As one does. Early in the summer, then the board president, we've spoken with the executive director, we've spoken with the former board president, we've spoken with former staff members as well. The former board president said that he had also stepped down at the start of the summer and had nothing at all to do with the sudden decision to close the doors. The executive director, who also stepped down in whose term finished in May after resigning in February, also told us that all they can do is refer to the statement and had nothing to do with the sudden decision to close their doors. But this organization was handed $500,000 to improve their operational capacity. And for some reason, within months of being elected, this new board of directors, who I have not been able to identify because there's no point of contact anywhere, their phone is turned off, their emails all bounce like it is. They've decided to shut it down, even though they have half a million in federal funding sitting in the bank. This is supposed to run until May 2026. But it really begs the question, and this is why we talk about accountability. You can't just take in. Honestly, we looked at the last 5 years. It is millions of dollars in federal funding. They used to get, we've been told that they used to get hundreds of thousands across multiple years from the provincial government of Ontario, but that was cut off under Doug Ford. But it's huge. And the tens of thousands in donations as a charity.
And it's also worth mentioning, generally speaking, you're not supposed to use these grants for paying salaries or
Existing
paying
programs,
or
existing
other
employees.
rent, yeah. But you can, if you make a case for it, divert some of the cash towards it, but you need to make a case, include it in your grant application, and then get okayed. So if the issue was being just being able to afford everyone, they could have routed some of that half million had they filled out the forms and got in contact with the right people.
They must have done all of that relevant information. And I want to not lose sight of the fact that this charity did extensive work. You know, they have done advocacy around the conversion therapy that was happening and advocating around that. They provided sex education tools that many, 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 many school boards have taken use of in terms of activities or providing the workshops. Their most recent annual report talks about how they've reached over 10,000 students. They've delivered over 200 workshops. They've been welcomed into over 100 schools across the nation. They've done a history
Wait,
project.
they did 200 workshops in total?
Yes.
Over 19 years?
100, no, over 1 year, over the year.
Oh,
22 to
I was going to
23.
say that's less than one a month. That's
No. In
embarrassing.
1 year, they've reached 10,000 youth,
Okay.
200
Ooh.
workshops.
Okay. Yeah. No,
You
that
know?
is. That's a
And
very good
that's
number.
also part of the issue here. Like, this is an organization that was actively, consistently present in terms of advocacy. During that time, before the executive director Debbie left, she was recognized by, I think it was Inspire magazine, as one of the top queer leaders in Canada. Also spoke at the Broadbent Institute on, you know, queer folks and leadership and change. So definitely prominent organization, but they've suddenly decided to close the doors. There is some evidence why they may have made this decision.
Ooh.
And that has to do with sort of their finances being, quite frankly, all over the place.
Okay.
We were able to dig up their financial information, their financial statements from the last 3 or 4 years, and take a look at what's happening. What's the trend in the last 4 or 5 years? It's worth noting that about 4 or 5 years ago, the former executive director, Jeremy Diaz, of whom it was named after JazzVision, and then the rebranding, left, no longer remotely involved. But under the new leadership, over the multiple years, we've been looking at sort of what is happening. And it seems like they had a bit of a spike in 2018. I think they reached 1.3 million in revenues in, sorry, 2020. But their expenses, specifically the salary expenses, have been very high. Massive deficits in 20, I think it's 22 and 23 that we've been able to see. We're talking 73,000 most recent, sorry, 74,000 most recently. We're going to be digging into more of it. It's worth noting the executive director at the time told us she had no idea what caused the sudden closure of CCGSD and deferred us to the board of directors. The president of the board during these deficit years also claims to have no knowledge of what the heck caused their decision to close CCGSD. We will look at it. We will look into it. But I don't know. It just frustrates me that queer organizations feel like there is an opportunity to disappear back into the closet, and hope no one will notice.
Well, or the, I don't know, because the Toronto Pride, actually Toronto Pride and Halifax Pride, I don't want to center out Toronto Pride too much. Oh, and Ottawa Pride, actually. The term fiduciary duty seems to be like a myth in some organizations. Like, you know, you speak to some people and they seem to think that the economy is this myth that people have made up to justify doing certain economic actions. And nope, it's a real thing. Like, yes, it gets overused, but it's a real thing for sure. And fiduciary duty is a responsibility that you have, and you are expected to balance the books in a certain way, and you are expected, you know, that you don't have a money printer, you know, the amount of money you get for the year, those are your confines, and you have to work within them. And I don't know, I've seen quite a few organizations where they're just like, oh, we'll just get more money later. It's like, but what if you can't? Like, maybe you can. And then you throw, you know, you get a cupcake and put a single candle in it when that happens. But like, pretend like that's never going to happen. Now what? Balance your books. I don't know. It's a thing.
It's frustrating, and I think what's most devastating is the impact it's had on the remaining staff. I will read their statement, and it reads: "We are so sad to share with you that after 19 years of education advocacy along 2SLGBTQIA plus communities and allies across the country, the Center for Gender and Sexual Diversity is bankrupt and will no longer be operating. This is the result of severe financial pressures that could not be overcome. We are profoundly grateful to our staff, funders, donors, partners, and community members for believing in and working toward a world free of discrimination. Right now, our focus is on supporting the group of motivated and talented former CCGSD staff members that are now seeking new opportunities. These staff members are highly skilled in program management, coordination, communication, and facilitation, and are leaders in the fields of education, inclusion, and queer history for queer and trans youth in various communities. In solidarity, the CCGSD Board of Directors." They seem to point to money being the issue. I find it hard to fathom that in the last 4 years, nobody saw this coming and it
Well,
was
yeah.
a sudden surprise.
They use the word bankruptcy, and that is a very specific technical legal term. So either they're misusing it, or
I don't
there's
want to. I don't think there's been any misuse, but I have a
no
suspicion that
misusing the
this.
word bankruptcy, because some people
Oh, I
just throw out
see
of it.
them not using the word. But okay, that makes sense. That makes more sense. Well,
Some people use that word
we are
incorrectly, but
poking around. We're a hound with a scent, and we'll see. Because I think it is frustrating to lose a queer organization that is doing so much good. 200 workshops, tens of thousands of individuals reached. It is very unfortunate to see queer orgs come and go. And I think we need to challenge how that happened, especially when they've just been cut a check for $500,000 to avoid this exact scenario from happening.
That is the purpose of a grant like that, yeah.
Yeah, so we'll see if the mysterious new board will respond to us, and if anyone else recovers from having no idea what could possibly have caused this decision. Anyway, whilst I ruminate on that, we are jumping to our next song. This is Finally I by Sayle Cassidy, and we will be back just after
They
this.
held hands through all the scorn. At night, through their windows, they pressed their chest. Finally, in love with someone feels right. Held his faith, traced his chin, painted his lips with calm and shimmering quiet at night. Finally in love with someone feels right. Can't seem to love me the way that I am. Stood in the doorway, clutching my hand, begging I go back to live in a lie. I was your baby.
And welcome back to Can Queer, home of Canada's queer media. And also here is Sebastian. We have mentioned, I think we mentioned very briefly in passing, a story out of Nigeria a couple of weeks ago. I want to give you a bit of an update because Meta, the owner of Facebook, Instagram, and WhatsApp, has come under even more fire. Now, last week, we had separately told you that a ruling in the EU courts had found against Meta for specifically using its sort of roundabout knowledge of you to send targeted ads based on sexual orientation. Specifically, if you are queer in some way, they were targeting ads that way. Against EU rules, and Meta got slapped down for that. But Meta's oversight board is having a bit of an issue now out of Nigeria. There was a video where a same-sex couple, now it's worth noting that same-sex relationships are criminal in Nigeria, but it showed two men who had been tied up and beaten, allegedly, in the video for being gay. It was in the Nigerian language of Igbo. Somebody had been beaten into giving his name, and there was a crowd yelling at them. They were being harassed for allegedly having same-sex relations. But the video was allowed to remain up on Facebook for about 2 months.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so the Meta Oversight Board found that the video itself violated multiple of their own standards. Surprise, surprise. It included, it was up there for about 5 months, apparently. It included the standard of posing a risk of immediate harm by exposing their identities, especially given the very hostile environment in Nigeria. But yeah, it was reported several times. It was referred multiple times to human moderators, who all felt that the video was fine. It seems like the fact that the video was not available in English, part of the problem. It was in a local Nigerian dialect, Igbo.
Oh.
And yeah, it was greenlit. So Meta's oversight board is now looking at how this really quite crystallized extreme example of where there has been a failing. How do they address it? How do they go from there? How do they operate in countries and provide service in countries where they don't have moderators that speak all the various languages?
Yeah. So, well, I mean, I know that there's ways of doing, I don't want to say AI, but like language detection is definitely a thing, but not all languages have been trained into these systems. I mean, even English, which was one of the first languages to get trained in, it still struggles with dialects, it struggles with slang. Like, it's just doing computer recognition of human spoken languages, it's difficult. It's very difficult. So I don't know. I don't know what the solution is.
Well, it breached their rules on hate speech, bullying, harassment, violent, and graphic content.
So yeah, it's also like I'm referring to automatic detection. The fact that they did have multiple people saying, this is what's happening in this video, please take it down. And meanwhile, like, you know,
and multiple human moderators going, nah, it's good. You know, it's just... it was horrific. Yeah, so the Meta says it was left up in error, and that they are happy to address the suggested changes that the Meta Oversight Board have. Another update for you. We were talking about how Australia has rolled out a bunch of changes to create a code of conduct for social dating apps, such as Grindr, to improve safety and so on and so forth. It's worth noting that police in Melbourne have now arrested 13 suspects after a string of robberies and assaults where men have been targeted using the gay dating app Grindr. So it is the second largest city in the country. Five victims were identified and I believe had spoken to the police about it. They said that there are several boys the law enforcement in Melbourne are looking for between the ages of 18, some as young as 16. They've all been arrested for these crimes. And of course, the court case is unfolding. But not to give just bad news, the same week, an equality bill did pass in New South Wales. allowing for trans folks there to have their sex changed on their birth certificate without undergoing surgeries, and to put non-binary on birth certificates, in line with a lot of other states in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
So they brought up, but you know, balance the string of arrests and assaults with a little mm-hmm. bit of good news to
well, the, I the don't. Palate. I suspect those arrests and assaults were not all just from the past couple of weeks since they passed that law. I'm willing to bet it was known persons where they just didn't have a law in place that they could fall back on, because they can't just arrest you because whatever. And this is actually an issue that Canada has with our own legal system, that it's almost like if you're doing something illegal, but you're doing it on the internet, it's almost like it's not illegal anymore. Like it falls into this weird gray space, because a lot of countries just have not updated their laws into the digital era properly. So I'm willing to bet that, like, some of these cases were probably recent, but I'm willing to bet that at least a couple of them were at least a few months old, and they were just waiting for the legal recourse to grab these people. So I don't know. Like, I think that's either way, people are getting brought to justice, and that's a good thing, regardless of what the mechanism is.
Exactly. It does sound like it was a gang of youths that were targeting people mm-hmm. this way, but we'll see that. Italy was also in the news. A member of the sort of left-wing party there just called the recent legislation that passed a black day for Parliament and for rights of freedom, and has vowed to challenge it to the Supreme, to the highest court in Italy. It's worth noting that the Italian government, following a 7-hour debate, apparently, passed a bill, 84-58, that extends an already existing ban on surrogacy to now including banning the practice abroad. Now, for example, let's say you are a gay Italian couple, or maybe even you are a gay Canadian man with an Italian husband, and you want to have a child through surrogacy in Canada, where it is perfectly legal,
mm-hmm.
and you get a child. That is now a crime in Italy. It has been made a universal crime, regardless of it being legal here in Canada.
Uh-huh.
There's only a few other crimes that are universal crimes in Italy, including terrorism,
uh-huh.
genocide, and paedophilia. So
but this is for surrogacy in general. So it's not just for gay couples. You could be a straight couple where the wife of the couple has good eggs, but due to endometriosis, had a partial hysterectomy, and the womb is no bueno, but there's still good eggs in the oven. Like, so a surrogate, it's a difficult choice to make, but some people make that choice, and mm-hmm. now they're not allowed to do that either. In a country with, like, the lowest birth rate in all of Italy, all of Europe, and they're cutting themselves off at the knees, it just seems weird.
Well, I think it's worth noting that this will apply to, it probably applies to about as many people as Scotsmore legislation, but you know what I mean? Like, it's not a huge number, but there are certainly going to be Canadian Italians, Italian Canadians,
yeah.
who now, even regardless of it being fully legal here in Canada, mm-hmm. It's altruistic surrogacy. Just to be very clear here, this is an unpaid surrogacy, is legal mm-hmm. in Canada. Despite that, regardless of that, the government of Italy has deemed it an irreparable crime, along with, you know, genocide and terrorism. And therefore, you know, by the way, €1 million fine. Like that, ooh. it's not a small issue. Million euro fine as a potential consequence. So yeah, pretty shocking news out of Italy as well. We did see the arrest of the murder of Finland's first openly gay hockey player, John Pohaka. And we also saw that the Gardaí in Ireland have also arrested somebody for taking a picture of someone on a bus, saying that they'd exposed that person to children. Mm-hmm. And it is the first time someone has been arrested for knowingly making a false report or statement that can cause serious potential risk to safety. Essentially, it's a law where you just post a picture and make up a blatant lie where someone could be at risk as a result of that lie. First time the Gardaí in Ireland have arrested somebody under that charge. So we'll see how that news develops and other news. But we have run out of time. We're going to keep looking into the bankruptcy of the Canadian Centre for Gender and Sexual Diversity. I suspect we won't hear from the Canadian Gay and Lesbian Chamber of Commerce, CCGLC. What you will hear is Radio and Buffalo, Radios and Buffaloes by Liv Wade, yet again featuring Canadian LGBTQ identify artists. I have been Luke Smith.
And I've been Sebastian, and thank you for listening.
PFLAG Canada is there when it seems no one else is. Did you know that LGBT students hear anti-gay slurs an average of 26 times a day? One out of every four LGBT youth are told to leave home. LGBT youth are more likely to be homeless. 30% of suicides are LGBT. PFLAG is committed to anyone struggling with sexual orientation and gender identity issues. PFLAG Canada supports, educates, and provides resources 24/7. Visit pflagcanada.ca.
Yo, what is